Good morning.
Welcome as we celebrate this special All Saints Day, a happy Halloween to all as we praise and worship God's name. A few announcements before we get started. Just a reminder, CEC, first of all, we'll be meeting tomorrow, Monday night at 7 p.m., and we're going to meet in the Fellowship Hall. So we look forward to the opportunity to meet in person. The other thing I want to do is extend a big thank you to all of our CEC members who helped out with our Halloween party. It was a wonderful success. We had to move things inside because of the rain, but nobody had any less of a fun time because of it. And I want to give a big shout out also to Shenbrunn Village for the pumpkin glow. If you haven't had a chance to see that yet, please take your family to go see it. This is the second year they've done it Halloween weekend, and it's just impressive how extensive this little drive-through pumpkin thing is, the amount of pumpkins and all the different displays they have, and the people helping out with that. It is just a great, great opportunity to support our community.
Go buy candy apples.
What's that? Oh, you're selling caramel apples. Okay, I got you. The joint board, also, we have mandated that masks need to be worn for worship and activities for the time being inside the building. We do have masks in the back if anyone needs them or if they've forgotten them. We always have some backups ready for you. Also, there is a basket outside in the fellowship, in the narthex area, excuse me. I want to thank Jean Ann Baker for putting it out there. That is for the month of November. We are looking at raising some items for the homeless shelter welcome baskets I've been talking about these past few weeks. So we're talking about things like backpacks, pajamas, slippers, reading books, journals, anything that will help people who are transitioning into the homeless shelter, especially the young kids and the teenagers who are coming with their family, anything that can make them feel a little bit more at home. We're looking for items that can be given to that. So it doesn't have to be anything like crazy expensive, just little things that can help them. So through the month of November, we're looking to fill that basket. Please help us with that. And we'll also have a little donation thing that you can put in as well if you prefer just to give monetarily. And then also the meal train sign-up continues for week two for Justin and Alyssa. So if you're willing to participate in that, please sign up on the sheet or let Emily and I know. One of the questions we were asked was about transportation. If you feel like you could do a meal, but you can't drop it off or take it out to Bolivar, that's fine. We can find somebody to do that. We're happy to do that. So please let us know if that's something you're interested in doing. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Amen. This time we turn to here as we celebrate All Saints Day. We begin with the hymn, "By All Your Saints Still Striving." At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds as we pray together the liturgy for All Saints Day, remembering all saints in our church and all saints outside of our church who remind us what a great example to be as servants of Jesus Christ. So at this time, I invite you to stand as we pray together the liturgy of All Saints. Behold, a great multitude, which no one can number, out of every nation and out of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, with palm branches in their hands.
And they cry with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb."
Deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were stoned to death. They were sown in two. They were slain with the sword. They were burned at the stake. They were killed by an assassin's bullet. They were destitute, persecuted, and tormented. They are the ones who have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and cleansed them in the blood of the Lamb.
Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they worship day and night in the temple.
They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of living water.
And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes.
God, Redeemer and Sustainer, we offer you thanks and praise for the holy lives of all your servants, the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, who have shone forth as light in the world and sacrificed their lives in testimony of their faith. We thank you for the triumphant fellowship of all the saints in glory. We remember before you all who have been called to the more immediate presence of the Savior, and especially those most dear to us and to our congregation. We rejoice in our present fellowship with them, in our continuing hope, and in the promise of eternal joy. Let the great cloud of witnesses, the innumerable of company of those who have gone before us and entered into rest, be to us an example of godly life. May we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And may we obtain entrance into your eternal kingdom, and with the glorious assembly of the saints, worship and adore you. Persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Hear the words of the Amen, and the true witness who is dead and is alive again. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
To him who loves us and washed us from our sins by his blood, made us to be a kingdom, priests to God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe them in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. This is the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Well said, teacher, the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Amen. Thanks be to God. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of fellowship with God as we come to God in prayer. Just a reminder for those of you that are joining us online, we'll share what public concerns that we can, but for any other private prayer concerns, please go to your prayer chain this week or to take some personal prayer time and reflection. Prayers that we can share with you this week, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Bob Belknap. He passed away this past Sunday. That would be Mitch Belknap's father. And Mitch has 9 brothers and sisters. Bob left quite a legacy. 10 kids, over 20 grandkids, and over 20 great-grandkids. So it was touching to hear from the family and hear just how much one person or one family can impact a life and the legacy they leave behind them. A service of remembrance was held yesterday at Guy Funeral Home. So we continue to uplift the Belknap family in prayer as they continue to grieve. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to Dawson, a 16-year-old Indian Valley student who was killed in a car accident on Fries Valley Road this past week. We also pray for his 13-year-old sister who was injured but is recovering. We pray for that family that is grieving, for the students and teachers and staff of Indian Valley, and all of their friends and loved ones. We also pray for the family of Amber Sherrill, who was killed this past week. So we pray for her. We also pray for the investigation that is ongoing in that death. And we pray for her family as they continue to grieve her loss. And we continue to pray for our community as well. We offer prayers of joy as Beverly June Miller continues to recover well in his home and is resting and is doing quite well. So we celebrate with parents Justin and Alyssa as they continue to enjoy the joys of parenthood. We also offer prayers for Rebecca Cole, who continues to battle COVID pneumonia and remains in the ICU. She is the daughter of Randy and Nancy Gibbs from Dover First Moravian, so we offer prayers to our friends and family at Dover First. We offer prayers for our Haiti missionaries, 17 missionaries and families sponsored by the Berlin-based Christian Aid Ministry continue to remain at large. We pray for the government that continues to work on rescuing these people safely and for other organizations as well who are at work. And we continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for many who still remain impacted by COVID-19. We pray for areas that also have been heavily hit by the virus lately. And the group of people that I ask you to pray for this week, one group that I think that is especially important is school nurses. They have had a very different job title change these past years, and a lot of our nurses in our juvenile detention centers as well, and in our prison facilities, trying to navigate not just sick children, but also trying to make sure they're keeping kids safe from the virus and kids who are showing symptoms as well. So definitely keep these people in prayer, offer them thanks and praise, and just offer them support as well. In prayers of joy this week, we celebrate Carter Baker, who will be graduating from his Marine training, so he'll be officially a Marine this last weekend. He did all his trials and his 6 weeks, and so we're grateful for that. Tom and Jean Ann are down in South Carolina celebrating with him to be present at his graduation, so we celebrate with Carter and Mom's parents, Tommy and Heidi, as well. And then one other treat, since it's Halloween, somebody has a birthday today, so I figured since it was Halloween, you get a little treat for that. So Ron Martin, happy birthday. Ooh. Apparently I've been watching too many Brown Steelers games. That pass was a little short. Spoiled by my quarterback, but our quarterback, I'm sorry. Absolutely. But we wish you a happy birthday, and for other people as well. Rylan, do you have one you want to say? Sing? You want me to sing? You sing. Tell you what, we will sing happy birthday if you start it. How about that? No? All right. Rylan will serenade you with a personal happy birthday after worship. We'll all sit around and watch. But good to celebrate our birthdays and our anniversaries and many good things. I just also want to give a big thanks for our community for giving so many different Halloween events for our kids to celebrate, especially in the midst of this pandemic and all these other things. So keep looking for ways to celebrate the joy and the blessings that God brings to our life. And at this time, we take all these concerns, all these joys, and we uplift them in prayer to God and take some time to reflect.
Thank you.
talking to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with heavy hearts this week. So much loss in the midst of our community. We think of the families of Bob Belknap and of Dawson Quillen and of Amber Sherrill. And gracious God, we realize that none of us know that pain that those families are going through right now, but help us as a community support them, love on them, and remind them that all of those people have been welcomed to their eternal home, where pain and fear and sorrow is no more. So these days are incredibly bittersweet, incredibly difficult, but we will get through them together as a community dedicated to serving and uplifting our Lord and our neighbors. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, all those in need of faith, friendship, and love, those who are facing so much anxiety and uncertainty in their lives, God. Help them to know that we will all be anxious and uncertain throughout our lives at different points, but that you, God, will help us through all those different stages. You will remind us that we were created for joy, to experience it in your image, so help us to be your loving creation. And gracious God, today we remember all of our saints. So many big saints in the wider church, but so many smaller saints as well, people who touched our hearts and minds. So let us take a second to reflect on the people that have been big Christian witnesses and role models for us. May every day we be grateful for the love of our God and the love of our neighbors. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. This time we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. Once again, reminding you, no basket will be going up and down the pews, but we do have an offering plate in the back for anybody who'd like to make a personal donation. And our community opportunity of giving is reminding people to give to that homeless shelter basket we have out front as we look for ways, especially as we get closer to the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. We think of the families in need, where Christmas can be a difficult month to get through, to make sure all the kids have everything and things like that. So let's make sure we stand up and give to those who need it. Please rise as we join together in the offertory. Together. Loving God, we are so grateful for all the saints you have placed in our lives. Help us to inspire others with the love of Christ in our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. All right. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat as we reflect and pray on the scripture that we have before us. I think it's only fitting, since it's Halloween, the Sunday rarely falls exactly on the 31st, that we do this a little trick-or-treat style. So we'll see what kind of answers you guys get, and we'll make sure you get some candy for those. So can anybody tell me, today we celebrate All Saints Day. Can any of you show me on your whiteboard, what is a saint? What is a saint? I'll give you a hint. It's not just somebody who plays in New Orleans.
A
Who is a saint? All right, let's see some of those answers. Oh, you drew it. A little angel. I like that. There you go. There's a saint. A saint. Oh. Do I have broccoli in here? I don't know. We'll take it. We'll take it. What do you got? Halo. There you go. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Oh, forgot Brandon and Tyler back here. Person who lives, what is that? Person that lives their life for God. I think that's a great answer. There you go. Ryan gets one too. All right, we'll get adults in on the action. It's not just going to be a kid friendly. I suppose, Amy, Jesus is a pretty good saint. I got to give you candy for that. Actually, you get two because it's Jesus, so. Sorry. My bad. Things get dangerous with candy. All right, adults, this is your opportunity. Get your whiteboards out. Tell me who are some of the bigger Christian saints, the people who are very important, very... Who are the big saints? Peter, there we go. There's a good saint. John Huss, absolutely. Oh, the wind got it. Becky, good save. Who are some of the big saints? John the Baptist. There we go, Missy. You can name them if you don't want me to throw candy at you either. You can. Who are some other big ones? Zinzendorf. There we go. Moravian Lutheran connection. Adam and Eve. The first saints. Absolutely. All right. So, kids, who are the adults did some bigger saints. Who are, when we talk about the word saint, a saint is somebody who is a good, the Pope. The Pope second. You know, John Huss might have a few words about that, but we'll give you that one. St. Peter, there we go. I'm running out of candy, that's good. Paige, you get one? Grandpa Bob, personal saints, absolutely. Paul's a good one. Oh, there you go, TB. Who are some of your personal saints? Who are the parents, the grandparents, the Sunday school teachers? Hold on a sec. We got some writing going on. Let me see some of your answers. Your grandma, absolutely. Here, I'll hand you these. Your grandparents, your dad, absolutely. Rylan, you got a personal saint? Who's somebody who's helped you? Who's somebody who's working on their whiteboard right now? Your grandmother, there's a good answer. You guys get a candy? I think, did I get you guys already? All right, dad, mom, teachers, grandma. Your mother, absolutely, Allie gets some. Grandpa, your mom, sorry Emily, our Halloween candy's dwindling.
Oh, I don't need this.
Dorothy Sickinger, absolutely. So we'll hold this for right here. So, well, I want you to remember Vicki Eichel, there's a candy right there. There we go. Oh, almost went high, good catch. Cheerleading strength right there. So what I want you to think about is there are big saints and there are little saints in our lives. And some people get to be really special, like Zinzendorf and Martin Luther King Jr. and John Huss and Gandhi and all these other people, and they impact a lot of lives. A lot of candy goes flowing that way. And that's special. But what's also special is you notice when I talked about the personal people in your life, your grandmas, your grandpas, your moms, your dads, I want to personally hand you the candy. Because even though those people may not touch thousands of lives, they touch the people that are closest to them, that candy tastes just a little bit sweeter. It's a little bit more special because that person made an impact that isn't just a day, a week, or a speech or anything like that, but it's an impact that lasts your entire life. So all of us get the opportunity to be saints for different people. So don't worry about if you're not a famous martyr or a famous disciple or people are going to remember your name thousands of years from now. Think about the big, sweet impact that you could make for people just by being kind and loving to the family around you, to your friends around you. And someday you're going to be on the whiteboard as somebody that people remember because of the impact of love you left with others. So remember, when you take time to be kind to others, it's like you're personally handing them candy to give them a sweeter and more loving experience in life. And that's exactly what Christ did for so many people on both a global scale and on a personal scale for each of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I want to say thank you for these kids, for the laughter and joy that they give us, for the wonderful Halloween experiences that they've had this weekend. Help them to know that they are saints right now, and how they treat people, and how they act, and how they love other people. So help each one of us be sweetness for others. Even if it's just one or two people in our lives, we know that we can make a big, big difference. So help us to pay attention to that and to truly serve our God and one another. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So we now turn our time and our attention to our message today. And we're going to dig deeper into those two scripture passages that we had, asking us to love the Lord with all our heart. So I want to start our message today with a little bit of an anecdote. I'm going to start with an anecdote. And this story is about students who finished 3 years of grueling seminary studies. They went to Moravian Seminary or someplace in Minneapolis or someplace above Bible College in Texas. And they went through 3 years of studying, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., learning everything they could about God. And they have one last oral exam before they're finally given their master's degree in religion, proving that they've mastered religion. And they have one last oral exam to perform, and they have to perform it in front of the entire student body. And the question they have to answer in front of the entire student body is, what is the most important thing you have learned about God? Think about that. If you were asked that question today and you had to stand in front of this lectern, what is the most important thing you have learned about God in your life experience? So the first person to get up in this class of accomplished students is the valedictorian. And the valedictorian, being a 4.0 student from kindergarten to grad school, got up and he recited an entire chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in Greek. And then he went and he read the entire first chapter of Genesis in biblical Hebrew. Did not miss a word, did not screw up anything up. Another accomplished classmate got up and shared and memorized the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasius Creed, and a few more for good measure so everyone would be well and impressed. And another student who really wanted to show off their intellectual capacities gave this big, big, strong speech and used fancy words like eschatology and hypostatic union and listed their favorite Christian apologetics authors. And they impressed the faculty. And all the students looked really impressed and they nodded along and thought it was a really good speech. Except none of them had a clue what that person just said. In fact, they were thinking about what Baker Mayfield's shoulder was going to look like in about 2 hours. Because their mind just could not grasp that this person wasn't talking like a human being. They're talking way above them. And the last person to speak that day was Jesus. Jesus was invited to come and talk. And he looked out among the crowd of people and he saw how tired they were from listening. So Jesus, without even saying a word, he walks up to the board and when asked, what is the most important thing you can learn about God? Ooh, and my marker's down. Jesus writes one word, puts down his marker, and he walks away. Love is the most important thing we can learn about God. And we hear that over and over in our scriptures today. Listen to Mark's gospel again. One of the scribes came near him and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" See, that's the thing. Basic Christian simplicity that Christ is calling for. Love God and love your neighbor. We as human beings love to complicate things. We love to make things more difficult than they need to be. But God has always tried to call us back to the basics. That's why God, since the beginning of time till today, has given us 10 basic commandments. And what's interesting, if you pay attention to the Old Testament, you know that there are a ton of laws and decrees that human beings came up with in the Old Testament. I've given you this question before in the past, but let's see if anybody can get this right now. How many laws and decrees were created by humans in the Old Testament? Get out your whiteboard, show some numbers at me. Throw some numbers at me, excuse me. I'll give you a hint. It's more than 10, less than a million. We'll see who gets closest. I got one last M&M. How many decrees? All right, let's see some guesses. 523, there's a good one. 1,000's a good one. 526, are we doing Price is Right style? Are we going 610? That's our very closest. Can anybody get closer than that? Oh, somebody did go Price is Right style. 612. The correct answer is 613. So I think, actually, we'll give you both. I got you. I got you covered. Hold on. The Packers are on a 7-game winning streak. I'm feeling generous. You were off by one. That's pretty good. Good answers. Let's give them a round of applause for those answers. Good guesses. 613, though. Think of that ratio. 10 commandments from God, 613 decrees and laws and holiness codes that we came up with. What a ratio. So Jesus, when he comes down to this earth, when he comes down to this planet, he sees that humanity is struggling with these 613 rules of law and obedience. In fact, he sees that we're struggling to get down those 10 commandments that God issued thousands of years ago. So what does Jesus do? He simplifies it even further. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, some scholars say that Jesus replaced the Ten Commandments, but really, if you think about it, he just simplified them. The first four are about loving God, and the next six are about loving our neighbor. So Christ kept it simple. And the interesting thing is, we often knock simplicity. We don't think it's best to get to the simplest solution. And I often find it funny that people tell me that as a minister, they wish they had faith like mine. Because the truth is, after 3 years of seminary training, almost 5 years of pastoral experience, you ask me to this day, and I will tell you that I am still trying to get back to how strongly I believed in God when I was 6 or 7 years old. The strength and the might of the faith that I had at that age, and I think many of us are still trying to get back to that. In fact, I remember being that age and praying my ABCs every night because I trusted and I knew the words that I prayed would be put together by God better than I could ever frame them. I need that Christian simplicity in my life more than ever. We need that Christian simplicity in our life more than ever. So for Moravians especially, love is an essential. We often turn to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 as the most popular wedding scripture of all time. In fact, you will often hear Paul's words at non-Christian weddings or secular weddings because of how beautiful and poetic it is. But what I want you to do is those popular words start in verse 4. Listen to what Paul says, in verses 1 to 3, before he talks about love, being patient and kind. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames as a martyr, but if I don't have love, I gain nothing." Brothers and sisters, let us heed these words from Paul. We are nothing without the love of God and the love of our neighbors in our lives. So what are some ways that you can make faith simpler in your life? And focus on love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. I'm not going to ask you to get your whiteboard out right now, but I just want you to meditate on that question as you go home today. What are some ways you can make your faith simpler and get back to the basics? Because the truth is, it is so easy to get bogged down by busy and complicated theological questions and busy lives that we live. Why do good people suffer? Was Jesus born to die? What will heaven be like when we are welcomed to eternal life? But you know, the important thing to know is God understands this. And that is why repetition of the reminder to love each other and to love God is so necessary. Listen at how physical this gets in Deuteronomy. "Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." I know as parents, as Christian role models, as we talk about All Saints Day, we often feel guilty that we are not doing enough for our children, we're not doing enough for our kids to be a good Christian example. If you're struggling with that feeling, read this gospel passage, Mark 12, 28 to 31, consistently to your children. And make sure your kids have a good understanding of it. Because you will be showing them, if they have this scripture verse down, you will be showing them what a relationship with Christ looks like and what it means to you. You will have that basic foundation in place if you heed these words from Deuteronomy and from Mark. So therefore, let us strive to get back to the basics as Christians. Listen to those words again from Mark. This is what we're trying to get back to. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Not a single commandment greater than these. So we have before us today easy advice to talk about, but much harder advice to implement in our lives. So let's strive to be those people that God calls us to be. Let's recite these words to our children and our grandchildren. Let's bind them as a sign on our hands, fix them as an emblem on our forehead, and write them on the doorpost of our houses, that we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And we can love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's get back to the basics and focus on those important Christian truths. And we too can follow in the footsteps of wonderful saints who have taught us the same thing. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with love in our hearts, love for you and love for our neighbors. We realize that life can get very complicated, that we can get bogged down in worries and anxieties and so many different things in our lives. But just help us to get back to the basics, to love each other and to love our God, and to remember that the first thing we do when we meet somebody new or somebody we care about is to present God's love to them, reminding that the reflection of God lives within them and among them. So help us to be your agents of love, mercy, and grace. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We close our worship service today with one of our favorite All Saints hymns, 10,000 times 10,000. Because remember just how far the love of God can go. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.